Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.
Welcome to our second hour here in Circles of Change, and what a pleasure. I've got two in-studio guests, so here we go, and I welcome first on the air, here's Christine Ritchie. How are you this morning, Christine?
I'm well, thank you.
That's great. Well, it's wonderful. People always laugh and ask me, so how in the world do you get all your guests? And people don't realize the best place for me is hanging out on airplanes and airports, particularly if I'm scanning the horizon. But I had the additional impetus to get to meet Christine because she walked into the waiting area carrying a big dish of red mango yogurt and proceeded to then share it with her two service dogs, Big Black Lab Bear, of course we're a Black Lab family as well, and her blondish golden retriever. We have a golden. And I was just chuckling to, as no get out, watching everybody else in the waiting lounge completely freaking out.
Yes.
As I was thinking, it's a natural thing I do as well.
Yeah. Their mouths are cleaner than ours.
That's exactly right. Well, let me introduce Christine. She's founder of Bella Dog Psychology. This is the connection, of course, which is a very unique behavior and skills training practice dedicating to helping owners connect with their best communication based on energy. Christine's story includes manifesting an almost mystic gift, I'll say, to connect with animals, from which then to build this successful business. As well as you're going to hear the inspiration of, frankly, overcoming a life turn that has had her on the cusp of tragedy. It was a sudden accident in 2010 that left her with a broken neck and months, if not years, of recovery that has included therapies of all sorts. For over 20 years, Christine was really a happily married mom of daughters. In fact, I'll reach out and say good morning to Tori and Alexis because they're texting their mom right now in the middle of the segment. Her days were filled with carting her daughters to and from school, helping out in the classrooms of both, late afternoons though spent working out and also working with her dogs. She was training them for police work as part of search and seizure and search and rescue. Her business today, though, Bella Dog Psychology, is based on being in touch with your most honest, innermost feelings in order to communicate anything to your dog. And in fact, she spends a lot of time now in the service dog arena. Her business is expanding then through her partnership with one amazing black lab I just mentioned, Bear, who's been a real partner in her own treatment as well as role modeling for and training with her other clients' dogs. So, again, tell us about Bear, your black lab.
He's amazing. He is the epitome of a service animal. He saved my life, essentially, early on when he was just a pup. I was training him for search and seizure with a PD had my neck broken in the freak accident. In the early stages of the accident, this dog, I was unaware at the time, was feeling my every pain, my every energy, and he became overprotective of me.
Wow.
He then started to try to take leadership of the pack. I had two dogs. I had a rescue dog, Domino, at the time as well, that I was training. And I had to, get myself in check real quick and try to muster the mental energy to overcome and try to set aside the actual pain I was in to guide him and still maintain some semblance of leadership in the weakened state I was. This dog then started to carry me. He literally would come up. He'd sense my pain when I was on the pain meds. They'd start wearing off. He'd come up between my legs and lift me up and just carry me through my day at work, when I would, the family business, anywhere. He was an amazing dog. I didn't have to tell him. I'd look at the paper. He'd go get the paper. I'd look at something on the floor. He'd go get it for me, bring it right to me, and help me up out of the chairs and carry me wherever I had to go, till I got the strength, to function on my own through the help of the doctors and the medications. He then is what prompted me to pursue the whole dog psychology and look deeper into how I could better help other people find that ability within themselves to do that for their dog, for their canines. And I'd been training dogs for years, but this was a whole different aspect of training to me. And, it's everybody has it. Everybody can do it.
Well, I think what you'd also tell us with regard to our energy is you are doing it, and you may not be mindful of you're doing it, and it could be getting in your way. Right? Because I can tell, because we have a silver Labrador and a golden retriever. And when I start having a bad day or when I'm under a tremendous amount of stress, the first mirror I should look at is watching my dog's reaction to me. Particularly if I take that 2 o'clock nap, which I always claim that corporations should have the 2 o'clock nap. I get much more productive thereafter. But that my dogs immediately would come in and lay down in the room. And it was more out of concern. Then it was, oh boy, it's nap time, I think.
Our canines mirror our every energy. They're the most honest creatures on the planet. You can't hide anything from them. They will mirror your innermost demons. If, you know, I'm meeting somebody on the golf course, my dog Bear, I never really understood why this particular dog to this particular human incited my Bear to chase him and not listen to my command to retrieve. And, after, you know, some deep thought and working with Caesar Milan, Caesar even sat me down. He says, okay, what does this man do for a living? Okay, how do you really feel about him? And sure enough, it was my most innermost dislike for the occupation he had and that Bear was picking up on.
And he was picking up on and telling you that you need to do that.
They're the most honest creatures on the planet. You can't hide anything from them. And that's why I think... When I go into somebody's home and they need a rehab of their dog, I tell them, you've got to be ready to make some changes and take a good look at yourself.
For yourself, exactly.
Yeah. And
well, I think many of you that we've had other animal, those gifted with animals that have come on the show, and they've recognized that their mission is really about changing people. It just happens to be through the dog. In fact, I think one of your wonderful little mantras is helping change lives one dog at a time.
Yes.
And you don't mean the dog's life, although I'm certain that's a contributing factor if you're helping them be get themselves in a better place, but it's really backward up to the client.
Yes, the dogs, they help us see what it is that we need to see in order for us to move forward. It's life-changing.
Well, Christine, I know one of the stories that you had mentioned in a note back to me was the fact you got called by a dentist on the East Coast to the classic, not unlike us coaches and consultants, you need to come and fix this guy or this leader, or in your case, come and fix this dog. Well, it turns out it was more than one dog, wasn't it?
It was about five dogs.
Five dogs.
Ranging from a little terrier all the way up to a purebred, beautiful black lab like my Bear, but none of them were spayed or neutered. And I'm on the beach, Sarasota Beach, Florida, and I'm basically just giving the reins to these dogs and said, you know, I want these guys trained, obedience trained. I want them to stop peeing in the house. I want them to stop running my house. Okay. Well, while he proceeded to then go back to the grill, Bear and I took over these dogs on the beach, and within 4 hours, I had every last one of these dogs perfectly trained in obedience. They were in tune to my every command.
In fact, those of you who are listening, if you're near your computer or those of you streaming, you need to go out on BellaDogPsychology.com and get to her Flickr file, because there is a marvelous picture of you and Bear standing there with the tribe.
Yes,
or the pack.
That's the one.
And first time I saw that photo, I thought, no, is she holding a Frisbee? Has she got dog biscuits? No, none of that, right?
Nope, they were looking for my next command. I had gotten their attention with the command, and they were just enwrapped with what was going to happen next. What was the next command going to be? These are dogs I'd never met before 4 hours previous. And, that's dogs are easy. It was the human afterwards that
was
hard. I was
going to ask you. So the next photo I didn't see was of the dentist standing on the beach in rapture waiting for you to tell him to do something or to signal via energy.
It was amazing to see how when at the end of all this, I'm in this dentist's house, and as soon as he walks in this house, his big lab turns on my dog and starts to want to fight my dog. The instant change in energy with this dog was really surprising. I then got between the dogs, and I bared my teeth at this dog. The dentist's wife was about in tears behind me as my assistant was holding her back, saying, no, she knows what she's doing. Trust her. His dog then eventually succumbed and went down, took a wide, respectful girth around myself, and went and hid in his bed. Well, the dentist then comes in, and the wife excitedly tells him what just happened, what she experienced. She thought this dog was going to tear my face off. And the dentist throws everything down and runs to his dog and comforts his dog as I'm yelling, no, stop. You just undid everything we did.
I did, exactly. And you're right that it's to not understand those dynamics.
Yeah, yeah.
With the name Bella Dog Psychology, where's the name come from?
Grandma Gentile.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if she ever knew my first name. She used to grab my little face in her hand and say, Bella, Bella. Bella.
You know? That's right.
So, and the way I teach the dog psychology and train, it is what I feel is the most beautiful way of doing it. It is positive. It is love. It is energy, a good energy. Nowhere ever will you ever see me striking an animal mm-hmm. or trying to inflict fear upon an animal in an attempt to train an animal. And it, in fact, it brings to mind a recent conversation I had with someone who came to me and said, I think my dog's been abused. And I said, why? Well, he's just a puppy, and when I yell at him, come here, Fido. He says, he doesn't come to me. I says, well, I wouldn't come to you either if you yelled at me like that.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Yeah, that's really the truth. Well, Christine, I mentioned that this is a gift that you've really carried with you. Did it become obvious at a certain age for you, or a certain incident, or an animal interaction that, oh my gosh, I've got something here that I...
They call me Dr. Doolittle all my life. I remember Squeaky the squirrel that I rescued. He was a little baby squirrel that I fed with a little needle syringe. He was so young, he slept on my pillow, was litter box trained, and played with the rest of my animals, and was trained with the rest of my animals in the house. A ground squirrel.
A ground squirrel, yeah.
There isn't anything I have not met that I haven't tried to save and rehabilitate. Between the wildlife of the squirrels, the possum, everything. It's just something I think my dad cursed me with, this incredible love of animals.
So your father had that?
He did.
Yeah.
He really did. He got me my first dog, Stubby, in the blizzard of 78. And when Stubby was sitting outside the house, and as vicious, as scary as Stubby looked, he says, can't let the dog suffer. He says, make the bed in the basement, and said, Christine, now don't go near that dog. Within 10 minutes, I was sleeping with Stubby.
Yep. You can't do that, so you follow the rules. No, not really.
Yeah.
Well, Christine, the aspect now, though, that this nurturing and rescue and recovery you've done for your dogs, and with your dogs and with their owners, of course, this accident of you breaking your neck, and now knowing you had to rely on others. Was it indeed that case where the tables turned in some way, or you saw you needed to be more open to that? Or did you always know that there would be the bear that could support you through this?
Unfortunately, I do rely on bear to some extent to carry me to this day. I have to, before I go out to work with somebody's dog, a rehab dog that I've never met, I have to seriously meditate. My form of meditation, be it walking my pack, some type of activity, physical training, gardening, to try to get it, go in with a level playing field. My brain can't feel the pain when I go in there. I can't be conscious of my own pain, because a dog will pick up on that like in an instant and use it as a weakness.
We have a horse, and it's the same way. It's my husband's horse, and Ted worked with him on the ground with a talented trainer as well as healer, like you are, in the equine world. And there are times when he absolutely knows he does not want to go and be with Chappie, because he's not mentally positioned to do that.
That's exactly right.
But then there are other times he walks out, stands by him, and Chappie starts yawning. Which is the ultimate sign of comfort,
yes.
Right? At least from horses and interaction.
Yeah.
So I'm told. So
dogs, it can be a sign of nervousness, believe it or not. If you approach a dog and you think the dog's really calm and mellow with you, and you see that dog's yawning an awful lot, it's because the dog's in a confused state.
Confused state.
And tread lightly. And the dog in a confused state, you don't know how he's going to go.
That's right. Well, now, you did a lot of training, as I mentioned in the introduction, before your accident, positioning animals to be part of search and rescue and so on. Is that different than, you know, what's unique to that type of a training regimen or focus vis-a-vis you're working with people like, you know, the dentist, or helping others who have got a service dog that you're ready to get into service?
If I'm working with a dog for search and rescue, and I'm teaching this dog search and rescue or service, it is a service.
It is a service, okay.
I'm starting with a stable dog. When I come in to rehabilitate a dog, I'm not starting with a stable dog. When I come in to rehabilitate a dog, I'm there to take this dog back to its original state that it's meant to be in, and undo all the damage us humans have done to this dog, to bring him to the confused state he's in. And that's the big difference. The rehab of a dog is much more time-entailed, And you got to use a lot more of the animal psychology that you know and that's inside of you to rehab a dog versus train a dog for service or search and rescue.
That's already been, in some ways, their pedigree has been validated, so to speak. I mean, their emotional pedigree, not just their physical wiring. We're speaking, by the way, with Christine Ritchie, and her business is Bella Dog Psychology. And in fact, that's the website, belladogpsychology.com. Also, her phone number here locally in Tucson is 520-260-0615. And as you heard, she did just come back from the East Coast. So those of you who are listening remote outside of Arizona, she'd be more than happy to entertain phone calls and connections. Christine, the training process then, or this evolution you're taking a dog through rehab, is this months? Is it weeks? Is it depending upon the animal or the owner, I should say, the owner's ability to be trained?
I've had owners here I've done it in as little as a week to 2 weeks, the rehab. It's actually really easy when I get a human who's willing to make those changes, that when I come into a house, I say, okay, we're going to start with a feeding routine. This is where we're going to begin. And I change everything in their schedule. When they're willing to work with me and actually work with me and the dog, it happens, and it's very easy. It can happen in a week. It can happen in 2 weeks, most.
The fact that Bear was with you when you worked with the pack, I'll call it, back on the East Coast, is that the distinctions between doing individual training or training with a role model or a group of dogs, something different there? Or do you take a different approach depending on the animal's needs?
I always start out, I go out first without the dogs. I want that dog that I'm about to rehab to trust me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never put my pack in danger of being attacked by another dog, and they know this, and this is why they trust me. I'll always go out beforehand. And then when I bring my pack in, Bear or Rocky, who I use for a totally different energy of a dog, they are the ones, it's like bringing Cliff Notes to a test. They set the stage. They show what's expected. When I'm unable to quickly reach a dog in his tongue, Bear speaks the language a lot better than me, so he'll step in and say, I got it, Ma. And he shows them, you know, this is what we do with this command and that command. And he actually, I've used him to socialize very aggressive dogs as well because of his energy. He's able to quickly take the lead with any dog with social problems, with aggression. I use Rocky for the fearful dogs that are afraid of everything.
Rocky is just... Well, he's a golden, first off. So there's right away a different body language and so on from our softer goldens.
Yes, he's perfect. He's an English cream lab retriever. His pedigree's from Russia. Oprah Winfrey actually brought that particular breed to the U.S. Mm-hmm. And he has such a calm, submissive energy. If he was any calmer, Cesar Millan used to joke, your dog will be in a coma, Christine.
That's right. He's sleeping. In fact, that was the scene at Midway Airport was Bear was at attention watching that spoon. Every spoonful went to you, whereas Rocky just kind of lay down, putting a nose to the floor as if I'll take a snooze. I'm not getting any of that.
Yeah. They grew a love for ice cream when back when I was training for the field work in Oral Valley. I'd always take the boys to the ice cream parlor, Blue Banana, after all of our work. And the gentleman there, he loved my service dogs. He always gave them their own cup of ice cream.
See, he got spoiled.
Spoon feed them.
There you go.
Yeah, he spoiled my dogs.
They even expect to be spoon fed.
Yes,
that's
they
right.
Do.
So here again, you've introduced us to the fact that your rehabilitation, you're working with service dogs in search and rescue. So field and agility work as well?
Yes. Yes, I had to do that, especially with Rocky. Rocky, when I adopted Rocky 9 months ago, he'd been kept in a small crate from a breeder, and he didn't have his hindside built up, the muscles. He couldn't even jump up into the car. So the agility training came into play there, and I had to really work with him to build his hind muscles up. He's coming along.
Yeah, that's right. Now, I think we also should characterize, we've talked about Bear, but give our listeners the picture of Bear. This is not a small, lithe dog.
Big black bear.
That's right. And he weighs how much?
115 pounds.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's a big guy. And like I said, he's muscular. He's not fat, people. It's muscle. He's got weight issues.
Or big bones, is what we say. Big bones.
We'll call him big bones, like the Italians call him. But he literally carries me at times. He's amazing.
So, Christine, for your business, then, your ideal clients, you love individuals, then, one-on-one?
I love working with individuals one-on-one. My ideal client is somebody who has faith in me and is willing to make the change and willing to go with me on this journey through their innermost demons and just conquer them.
Just through their own, that it might be them being picked up by their animals. You had mentioned at the break beforehand, though, that you're also interested in expanding your field and touch into helping youth. You might want to share that with our listeners.
I so badly want to reach out to our youth today. I know that they're doing work in the prison cells where they're working with prisoners and training dogs to show them the sense of compassion and empowerment in their mental energies, but I want to reach children before they hit prisoner status. I want to reach those at risk of going in the wrong direction in life and showing them what it is they have in them. They have qualities in them that they can use for good versus bad. And I think that, they would benefit so much by working with a dog and seeing just how this dog mirrors their very energy. They would be able to take that look in the mirror that they probably haven't had before.
Well, I think also those who have had the benefit of being with service animals for whatever disability or behavioral disorder or challenge they might have, is the knowledge that we are becoming more conversant in to understand the role of animals to help heal people.
Oh, they're amazing. They're amazing the way they try to absorb the pains in people. They are great therapy dogs. They just work wonders for people in the hospitals when they walk in. Everybody smiles.
They do. In fact, I always used to say we need to not only have corporate nap, but we need take your dog to work day.
Yes.
As opposed to just your children.
I'm all for that.
And because you bring a dog into the mix and the whole tempo, everything changes, just like when you bring a child into the mix.
Yeah. Well, if it's a well-behaved child,
yeah,
yes.
That's right.
But, yeah, the dogs, I mean, especially Bear, when taking off and landing in the planes to go get my surgery done where I had it done in Florida, he would stand up in the airplane and actually put his head to my head and just have me grab his ears, and he'd absorb that pain as best he could. That's what they're there for. They're there to help us, to take the pain away and help us.
Which we've always found, because we're a long-time family. We've had seven retrievers, six Goldens and one Black Lab. The challenge comes, though, when you don't know to appreciate when they are in pain.
Right.
Because they hide it so well.
They do.
They do. In that breed.
He will give me his last breath if he could. He's amazing the way they're incredible loyalty to you. They wouldn't think twice before putting their life on the line to save you, such as when I was back in Rhode Island and Bear was doing the rescue out in the ocean with me. I was working with Ocean Rescue, and Bear, he swam until I was actually worried for his health. But, you know, this is the beauty of dogs. They put our happiness ahead of theirs.
Yeah, what a business. Well, Christine, I really wish you the best of luck. It's been a pleasure. Again, for our listeners, do give Christine Ritchie a call. It's 520-260-0615. It's BellaDogPsychology.com. As you heard from her versatility here, it's everything from working on rehabilitation and behavior challenges. I'm certain if those of you who are listening that might have a need for a service dog, that she might be a great person to advise you on how to select the right one to match what their need is?
Absolutely. One quick note, in the end of September, the YMCA is hosting a big dog party where they're having me on hand to personally meet and greet your dog and you, free diagnosis, to help you with your dog and your canine, you know, whatever problems you may have at the time.
That's great. And what date is that?
They've said end of September. Keep an eye out on my website.
That's right. Watch Christine's website to see
for the big dog party. You're going to be able to have me meet your dog and diagnose your dog and help you any way I can.
That's wonderful. Well, again, I'm so glad that I observed you eating red mango riser, and mine was all gone. Otherwise, I would have shared some with Bear. I probably would have snuck over and given some to Rocky, even though he was pretty just detached from that. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Real pleasure to have you on our show.
It's been a joy. Thank you.
You bet.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.